Okay, Changing Soil, how good has this series been? Part four. And I believe, as I was saying to someone the other day, I think Andrew and I were talking, maybe Dawn and I, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Well, no, hold on. My wife's a lot better looking than you are. And sometimes I'm talking to a lot of people and I forget who I'm talking to. But I really felt, it was our 16th birthday the other day, and I felt that Grace Life, there's something of an age, of coming of age for us as a church. And I was saying, I think even we need to change something of our mission statement. Something is different. We're dealing with our oldest daughter at the moment, just walking through some stresses and strains, some great stuff. But we're walking things out with her. And we're realizing that we have to get in step with her as she gets older. We can't keep walking the same way as you did when she was 12. Amen? As much as you'd like to, moms and dads, when they're 18, you can't. And I'm realizing, I believe that as a 16-year-old church, is like the Lord, there's some maturing that God's calling us to do, that we have to begin to see ourselves in a different way and see what we're doing in a different way. Amen. And so maybe the time has come to change that mission statement. Not too much, but to add something to it, or remove something to so that we begin to see things slightly differently. Amen. And this Changing Souls has been a profound preach for me, or series, because of what I feel God's saying to us as a church. So why changing soils? Because changing soils, as a matter of fact, let's just read. So we started, of course, Andrew started the series on Matthew 13, but we're going to go to Luke 8, the same parable, but from a different perspective, Jesus speaking, or Luke rather speaking. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. So you understand the parable, the sower comes and he sows seed. And he talks about sowing seed along the rocky path, along the hard soil and the good soil. And then he starts to, they say, hey, what's it all about? He says, okay, let me tell you what the parable is about, which is very unusual because he doesn't normally do that. But he says, yeah, let me tell you. And he tells us, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. This is a profound book, friends. Yeah. You have come to hear the word of God this morning, not Craig about Superman comic. Yeah. Amen? This book will change your life. Amen. But it's got to be read with the lens of belief. So in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the Israelites could not enter into the promised land because they did not mix faith with the word of God. They just read it as a book, or just heard it. Okay, whatever. They didn't take faith and mix it with the word of God. And in mixing faith with the word of God, it produces results. This book is a powerful, powerful tool in the hands of the believer. Why? Because it is God speaking to you and I. Every word is red letters. Every word is Jesus talking. Every word. Most of us can't hear God. You know why? Because we don't read the word of God. Hey, Craig, I don't feel God speak to me. How often do you read the Bible? Hey, hardly ever. Hey, this is the problem. Amen? This book is a powerful, powerful book. You don't just read it. It reads you. When you look at something in the Bible and you read it, it looks straight back at you and reads what you're doing. And you go, oh, my Lord, help me, God. David says in the Psalms, and now I forget what he said, but he said a lot of stuff. Search me, O Lord, and see it. Search me, O Lord. When you open the word of God and begin to read it, it begins to search you. But the most we don't want to be searched, especially us men. Amen? Oh, we don't want to be searched. Don't dig inside there, but some stuff not so lekker. Search me, O God. Test me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What inside me is not so lekker, Father? Let me open myself up. You don't just read the Bible reads you. When you come here this morning, you don't just hear the Word of God hears you. Sometimes puts us right in the valley of decision. What am I going to choose here? Am I going to go left or am I going to go right? All right, so that was a long introduction. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. So these people are not born again. They come into a meeting, or they come to someone, or they listen, and they go, and the devil says, steals the word. Remember, Satan is real. He is a person like God. He has a character. He is real. And his goal is to come and steal the word of God from your life and from your friends' lives. Amen? Verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word. Then with joy, So what happens when you lead worship and then start trying to preach? Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. Whoa! Geez, Donny, what a powerful message. Hey, Andrew, that was amazing. Face the Father, yeah. But they have no root. A mile wide and an inch deep. Lord, help us not be a church that's a mile wide and an inch deep. Amen? You look at 5 to 8 in the morning, there's no one here, hardly anyone. And all of a sudden, 8:30, it's filled up. So really what's being said is, I'm not here to connect with people. I just want to listen to the message and leave. A lot of churches like that. So Father, help us not be that kind of church. We want to be a church where we come so we can connect with people. You got to come at least 15 minutes early. If you arrive after the worship started, amen? And of course, we're late, we've got kids and understand that. But if it's happening consistently all the time, let the word of God read you. Amen? We don't come to Jesus, or come to church rather, to get our needs met. We come to get equipped so that we can impact the world. Is this not too soft? You're right. It's just me. Andrew just nodded. They believe for a while. Okay, they believe for a while. So it doesn't mean they're not believed. They don't believe. They're not saved. They believe for a while. They actually believe. Oh, wow, I believe God, yes. But it says, but in the thing, they fall away. What happens? They backslide. They're born again. But they fall away. They backslide because they didn't have much root. But they believed. But they fall away. Many people like that. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Say, do not mature. But the seed, say, but the seed. The word of God. On good soil, changing soils. Why is this the series called Changing Soils? Stands for those with a noble and good heart. A noble and good heart. Obviously, Matthew 13 says it's just good soil. But a noble and a good heart, a heart that's ready to receive from the Lord, a heart that's open and teachable. Who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So verse 5, fell among thorns. Stands for those who hear, so they listen, they hear it, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. That word hear is to listen and even understand. So they actually hear it, and they're like, I get it. I read the word of God, and the word of God reads me. I get it. I'm open to change. Yes, I love this. I love what you're doing at Grace Life, Craig. I mean, yeah, wow, this is amazing. I love Jesus. I've been looking for a church and I found one. Yes, thank you, God. Oh, I come to life groups. I come to the prayer meetings. I want to get involved in serving. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I hear and I even understand what the Father is trying to communicate. Allow the word to read me a little bit. But as they go on their way, that word go on their way, that phrase, that word go is as they leave and go outside, as they leave the confines of the local church, and they go to live their life. As they go out into the world, they are choked. That word choked is crushed. So the seed, the word of God, is choked and crushed. My son is pretty good at a rear noka choke, you know, the mixed martial arts. So Torin, if I'm sitting on my chair, and he comes behind me and puts his, and does, and he squeezes, I literally feel like I'm going to pass out in seconds. Yeah, he's strong, but he can, it's like, oh, that'll stop it. He's very good. It's his love language. So he wants to choke his dad out. I blame Trevor. You see, the word of God gets choked out. As they go on their way, there's something that begins to choke the word of God and puts it out. It crushes it. Listen to what it says. They're choked by life's worries. That word worries is the word anxieties or fears. So they're born again. They hear and they understand. As they go to live their life, instead of taking on the world and radically changing things around them, it says the word of God is choked and crushed. Everyday living, by life's everyday living. That the word life is everyday living. Worries, anxieties, fears. Riches, which is wealth, money, and goods. But Matthew 18 says the deception of wealth. So wealth comes to deceive. That's why James tells us those who in the church who try to get rich, so all they think about is getting rich, says they pierce themselves with many griefs. Who's been stabbed before? Thank God I haven't. But I'm sure the people in this room that have been. Maybe by mistake or maybe on purpose. They've been stabbed. Can you imagine taking a sharp instrument and stabbing yourself? Who would like to do that? Have to be crazy. But James tells us that those Christians who try to get rich for getting rich sake, for having money, says they pierce themselves with many griefs. They pierce themselves with many griefs. Talk about deception. Because we don't understand, actually I seek first His kingdom and He adds what I need to my life. Amen. Last riches and pleasures. That word pleasures is nice things. It's actually the hedonos, where we get our word hedonistic from. It's pleasures, but actually it's pleasures in a negative way. Nice things, but overindulgent pleasures in a negative way. So I use things in this world or scenarios or even stuff that I put in my body that begins to dull me and cause the word of God to get choked out of my life. So they hear the word with faith. And they love what they hear. They understand it. But as they go on their way, how many times have I seen this in my life? As they go on their way, life's worries and riches and pleasures begin to choke the word and they begin to fall away. Then they take 2, 3, 4 years until they're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you see them come back again. And then the same thing after 2, 3, 4 months happens again over and over. Some people don't fall away, but they just stay nominal. They just stay very, very... because those things have a constant pull and draw on them all the time. Amen? Life's riches, worries, pleasures. And look at the end there. The worst part about all of it. And they do not mature. That word mature, or Matthew 13 says, making the word unfruitful. So the word mature is telos. Telesphorio, which means to mature, to be fruitful, to multiply. So really the goal of Christianity, my friends, and the word of God is multiplication. That is the only thing we call to do in this life as believers, is to multiply ourselves in a good way. Some people try and multiply themselves. You see, we have political parties in this country, many, many of them. Their goal, their only goal, is to multiply as a political party, to get more and more people involved with them. And they will use all kinds of triggers and all kinds of mechanisms to do it, mostly tearing the other people down. And in the church, you get factions that start, and what happens is called gossip and slander. And I try and tear you down to get people on my side, even between husband and wife, where the husband will try and tear down someone in the church to get his wife on his side, or the wife will try and tear someone down in the church, get the husband on the side, so they can both be a little faction together. Then they'll try and get people around them. It's called demonic. So what it's doing is multiplying, but Satan's way, not God's way. That's not the word of God. The word of God produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in my life. But what I'm trying to do is multiply that in everybody else. Who's with me? We need to say to our wives as men, we need to stop talking about that. That's not helpful for us. Or the wife to the man, babe, we can't talk about that. That's not helpful. That's like you're bringing that person down. Shouldn't we just pray for them? Or friend to friend? Amen? Not on Facebook. WhatsApp messages. Because the goal is multiplication. That's the word of God. You can hate me all you want. Jesus still forgives you. for preaching what I'm preaching. But you'll see when you die one day and get to heaven, I'm right. And you were wrong. Amen. Am I being prideful? No. I'm saying because that's the word of God. Do I always get that right? No, sometimes I mess up. Ask Dawn, I can complain. But sometimes she should do that. But she wants to pull out the gun. My worst, when people walk through the door and the first thing they tell you is they came from DCC or City Hill or Elam, and they start to straight away tear that place down and say, now, aren't you glad I'm here? I'm like, no, you need to go back there or anywhere but here. That is a red flag. Because you know, if you give credence to that, I'm so glad you're with us now. We added another person to our meeting. You got to know that in 6 months from now, you're the same as that person when they go somewhere else. You're controlling, you this, you that, you this, you stingy, you all the other things. Like, oh yeah. You never dealt with that issue there. As Dawn said, if you get injured here, you got to go back there to get healed. Amen? The goal is multiplication, changing soil. So God wants us to be in good soil, have good hearts, so that we can multiply the good seed of God. Remember what I said last week in Daniel chapter 12, where he says, those who win souls are wise. So the evangelist is a wise man. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. That word lead is to take someone's hand and draw them along. Lead. Righteousness means so they can get saved. No, so they can either get saved or walk in a righteous life. Produce the life and multiplication and the love of God. So those who do that will shine like stars forever and ever if they make it their goal to lead others into glory. Amen. If you come to Grace Life because your goal is to come to church, I don't think that's really the point of Christianity. We love you and we'll honor you, but chance are you'll probably never really serve anywhere. You'll just sit and keep a chair warm. Amen. The goal is multiplication. It's for you to fill the chair next to you with someone that you know, and then someone that they know, and someone that they know, and someone that they know. Here's a quick question. And I said this last week, I'll ask it now. If you were invited to Grace Life and you are here because you were invited by someone from Grace Life, please put your hand up nice and high if you don't mind for me. Nice and high. Just a few more seconds. If you were invited by someone from Grace Life and that's why you are here, nice and high. Now, if you don't mind, just keeping your hands up, just take a look around you. Look at that, how many people that is. Because they were invited from someone by Grace Life. When last did you invite someone to Grace Life? Amen? Hey, I'm going. You want to come to church? Yo, what time does it start? We first meeting at 8, but I get there about 10 past, so you can get there whatever time you want. No. Hey, come on, meet you at 1:45. We'll come together. I'm scared. Don't worry. I'll hold your hand. We're walking together. Amen? Anyhow. You see, the word gets choked and it doesn't become fruitful, which means it doesn't multiply. The goal is to bear fruit. What does that fruit look like? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked. So Jesus says in Matthew 13, a noble good heart, when they hear the word, they retain it. So that word retain is to hold it back. Interestingly, so good soil, noble heart, when they hear the word, they retain it. So they're holding it back, which presupposes something's trying to pull that word away from me. Okay, we know who that is. All right. Now that could be your good friend, who's a backslidden Christian or just a Christian who's gripped by someone else in the life of the church and they're trying to steal the good word from your own heart because it's been stolen from theirs. And misery loves company. And so you've got to retain that word. Retain is to actually hold on to it, interestingly. Not like it just sits there nice and peacefully. No, you've got to hold that. Jesus said, teaching them to obey. That word obey, Matthew 28, is to hold on to the word. Not obey it as the obey is the wrong word actually. It's to look after and treasure, keep it safe. So he says to retain the word, and then by persevering, because you've got to hold on to the word and then hold that word and persevere through some tough stuff sometimes. Amen. Come to Jesus and he'll fix your life up. Yeah. Renew your youth like eagles. Yes, because you'll stop all your nyaga nyaga. Stop drinking and drugging and all that stuff makes you look old. And you have an 18-year-old daughter that says, what also makes you look old? Because he's going to not just fix your life up. God wants to give you a new life. To kill the old man. Amen? He's not going to fix your life up. He can't fix something that's broken. He makes something alive that's dead. But by persevering, produce a crop. Matthew, this is Matthew 13. A crop 30, 60, 100 times that was sown. So the goal of the word of God in your life and my life, my friends, is to produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times as sown. Amen. Not just to maintain, but to produce a crop. So how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. I'm kind of landing. You know when you go to Joburg, you fly up, and you go straight, and you come down? I'm kind of going straight, but only a short little while until I sort of... Because I know you want to go watch your comrades. All right, so I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. The more I've looked at this, the more I'm beginning to realize that we multiply by making disciples. Number one, of others. Number two, of ourselves. Because without discipleship, you can't really grow. You just go round and round in circles. I was saying to someone yesterday up in my office. My office is like a little office come studio, a little home studio. And say many years, so I've got a song that you can press play and press my song, and they sound almost identical. And it's called a reference track. And you have software that I bought a long time ago that goes into my computer. And then my song, I pull in another song from someone else. And then it's called A, B, A, B, A, B. Then I can B, theirs is plays, and then A, and then mine plays. And then you can hear the difference. It's called a reference track. And what we need is I'm jumping ahead of myself. All right. Big point number. So making disciples. Don't dial out now, please. Oh, make a start, please, Craig. Give me something easier. I'll produce the fruit. You know what I mean? So I come to Grace Life, come to the church, come to Life Group, come to prayer meeting. Aren't I producing fruit? Those are great, but it's a start. Amen. It's a start. But you need impartation. See, information is all we get through the MP3s and the videos and the YouTubes. And I like that stuff. The interwebs. I listen to it all the time. You won't find me listening to the radio. Ask Dawn. But I'll put my headphones on and I'll listen. I'll listen to preachers and I'll listen to people. But that's information. What we need for the most part is revelation. We need impartation. So Donnie was praying for guys. I felt in God. Come forward. Some men, mind you, chose not to. Now, I don't know who it was. I didn't even try and look to see who didn't come forward. Some guys are like, nah, I don't need to come forward. I'll stand right here. Sometimes you've got to break that mindset, my friend, and go, I'm going to come forward, but I'm looking like a fool. Look, I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, none of us know what we're doing. Not even Andrew. I don't know what I'm doing either. I don't. I'm a doffy. I just want God to show me how to do things. Amen? I'm a little oaf of Marsbra. And impartation. You need someone who's with you, who's connecting with you, who's imparting revelation to you. Amen. This is great because you're under the sound of my voice and there's something going on in this room. We know the angels are here and we know Jesus is here. But we need also just that closeness. Jesus had disciples. He had his three, then the 12 that he hung with all the time, imparting what he carried onto them. Amen. Amen. Who's with me? There was no such thing as MP3s and online back in the day. If you wanted the word of God, you had to go sit with a man of God. So making disciples, 2 points out of that and we're done. Big point number one is of others. So I'm going to ask Ryan, if you can do me a favor, what I asked you earlier. Yeah, those handstands and cartwheels. Okay, the reason I'm doing this is to give you some sort of visual concept about what I'm talking about. So equidistant from each other, four in a row. You know, not too close, but okay, yeah, that's fine. That's great. Okay. All right. Now I need each one of you guys to stand next to one, and then you're going to step down just now. Yeah, I never joke about this kind of stuff. All right. So sometimes Ryan's like, I don't know if it takes this guy seriously or not. Just stick to your day job, bro. Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So, Greg, I don't like what you're saying. Okay, well, let's go back to what Jesus is saying. Maybe you'll listen to him. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember I said last week, not just in the name of God, but in the name of all three, which means this community. Community is very important to God. And teaching them, that word teaches didazo, which means to instruct and to bring revelation, knowledge, and impartation. Teaching them to instruct. It's a verb, by the way. And he's not talking to the leaders here. To obey, that word is obey, is the word to guard over or to treasure, to look after. Everything I've commanded you, which is the word of God. It's the same what we read just now. And I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Sometimes, Dawn and I, it's not easy being a pastor. It's not easy leading a church. It's hard. A lot of stresses and strains and emotions and all kinds of stuff. You're doing well, then you feel like you're doing badly. Then someone wants to tap you in the back and then punch you in the face. At the end of the day, you got to go, you're with me. Even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. And that's for all of us. So 2 Timothy 2 says, you then, my son, who's Paul talking to? Oh, Timothy. Oh, then let's take the book of Timothy 1 and 2 and cut out the Bible and toss it in the bin. No, he's talking to you and me. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he's talking to all of us. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus. Why do I need grace? Because my emotions are going to go up and down. I'm going to feel good one day and bad the next. I'm going to feel like I'm doing well one day and bad the next, and just not even cutting it the next. Sometimes I know what I'm doing. Other times I feel like I'm completely lost. And the Father says, son, you need my grace. Be strong in my grace. Be strong in my grace if you're going to do this, Craig. Be strong in my grace if you're going to do this, Gary. Be strong in my grace if you're going to do this, Alec, and any other man and lady that I can shout at you. Okay, Dion and Joyti, be strong in my grace. Then he says, and things you've heard me say. All right, so now this is Paul.
Hello,
Paul. The things you've heard me say, let me grab my notes here. The things you've heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses. So maybe if I can have Grant, Yanni, come on, bro. And no, that's fine. Okay, stand next to him there. Okay, so now you face him. Now you're preaching. All right. That's Paul. This is Timothy. Remember, we're talking about making disciples of others. Yes. Now Paul is preaching and teaching to those guys. Timothy is with Paul, and he's hearing, and he's listening, okay? And he's with Paul. And I go stand next to Paul for a second. Now, Paul, look at Timothy and say something. This is Timothy. Yeah, Paul. Oh, my God. Okay, hold on. Sorry. Okay, Josh. Okay, I'm calling you Paul. It's confusing you. Sorry, Josh. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Josh is talking now to Reese, and now he's talking back to those guys, those witnesses. All right. Okay, thanks, guys. Now, you stay here, Josh and Reese. You come back to your tree. Don't climb in your tree. Just stay there. Okay, guys, thank you. So, what you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, okay, entrust, that word entrust is to lay before or to give over. It's a verb. Things you've heard me say, you've heard me, him say, you entrust to. So, come stand here by your tree. Come and Skonza, there, right? So now you're entrusting to reliable people I guess I've got to put this down because it's up there. Entrusting to the Lord. All right, to reliable people who are qualified. So reliable means faithful. They're faithful. They're around. They're with you. They're faithful. Unreliable. Every time you look, the guy's not around. Hey, he's fishing. Then he's quad biking. Then he's in the berg. Then he's like, yeah, he's never around. Well, then you can't do that with a guy. He's not interested. The word came and it's been stolen for whatever reason. So Paul is saying, what you've heard me say, you entrust to reliable men who are qualified. In other words, they have the ability to take this and then teach others. So that word there, qualified to teach, that word teach is the same word Jesus used, didatso. So Timothy, what you've heard and seen me say to with other witnesses, you then share or give and trust to reliable men, the word of God, to reliable men who are able to teach others. So you have a four line. We are called to make disciples of other people. This line never ends. It never ends. From the time of Jesus to now, this is how the gospel's got to our ears. By this happening. Amen? And then what happens is, so you move on. Thanks, Paul. You go to that tree. You come here. Ryan, next one. Tyron, last tree. Alrighty. You see that? I'm just using guys here, but this, of course it's girls. And then the next one. Then it does it again and again and again. And that's multiplication. That just keeps growing. For a lot of us, in this room even, this is broken. You are listening to someone talk, but you've got no one next to you. Matter of fact, chances are you don't even have someone teaching you anything. You come to Grace Life on a Sunday morning, it's a great meeting, which is beautiful. Well done, you're here. But it's the first step into something. Because this is not going to church on a Sunday. Do you notice that? Yeah. This is discipleship. It's what you've heard me say in the presence of it. You teach others to teach others to teach others, which means I have to spend time with that person, either one-on-one or one-on-five or one-on-whatever, and speak that out. So I have to make disciples of others. Maybe we need to change our mission statement to encounter God and make disciples, because this is the most important thing we could ever do. Everything that we do in the churches and in local church is based off of this stuff. Whether it's community, whether it's loving each other, whether it's trying to grow in the grace of God, whether it's trying to grow in the word of God, whether it's trying to connect and serve, it all comes through this place. Yeah. Without this, everything falls apart. The churches are a mile wide and an inch deep. There's no maturity. The weather's good, people don't come. The weather's bad, people don't come. There's a sporting event, people don't come. Why? Because they're this deep and that wide. No discipleship. The word of God is not taking root. It just keeps getting stolen all the time. They come on a Sunday, go into life, and get stolen. They come back over and over again. We have to make disciples of others to continue that journey of multiplication. Who's with me? Amen. Amen. Stay there. Thank you, Paul. All right. So, Alec, how's your back? Is that okay? No, Leo, you stay seated. Okay, so now you go off one more. Take Ryan's place there. And not Ryan, no one's place. You just go to the end of the... No, you can't jump me, Paul. You've got to be discipled. You've got to disciple to get to Paul, bro. You can't be Paul. I jumped again. All right. So what are you doing? Those who lead many to righteousness, you are leading people to righteousness. Eesh, I'm running out of time. You got another hour left in you. Thanks for that. I got it. It's nice having one meeting, eh? I felt like I could sleep in this morning. You are leading people to Christ, to righteousness. That's what you're doing. It's a verb. You are leading many to righteousness. You're helping them establish the word of God so it doesn't get robbed. You're using your time. You're connecting. You reach out, hey, Grant, you want to connect for a coffee? And no, I'm busy. And this, actually, Grant should be the one connecting with other people as well. I'm not saying it's not happening, but do you understand? I'm using an example. So many times, it's like you got to come, I want to connect with you. And the guy's like, nah. It's such a strain and a stress. It's like, you should be the one connecting with people and discipling them. Amen. Hey, Craig, it's a hard message, Craig. I like the church down the road. They don't preach any kind of thing on you. You just come sit on a Sunday and sit there. Well, that's wonderful. Maybe you should join it. Because this is what we're going to do. This is what we, otherwise I wouldn't be a good leader. I wouldn't be a good pastor. Amen. Our goal is to equip you to do the works of the ministry, not so you can sit and watch us and go, Flip, it's a nice meeting. That's not the goal of Christianity. It's to multiply. Amen. All of us. When a tree grows, not just one part of it grows, the rest is dead. The whole thing grows. Every part doing supporting ligament grows together. Amen. Now, big point number somewhere else, and then we're done. Disciple, make disciples of others, and now I'm going to look back this way, make a disciple of myself. So it's a both and. It's looking back, and it's looking down the line, and it's looking up the line. So Bill Johnson says this, in every local church in the world, someone should be being discipled up and discipling down. Maybe you don't like up and down, maybe left and right, or front and back. Whichever way you look at it, every one of us should be discipling, be discipled up and be discipled down. Every one of us should be in this place. I'm just being discipled by someone and I'm discipling somebody. Now, if you go, well, Craig, I thought that's leadership, they're completely wrong. And I'm going to help you understand that that's the religious mindset. He's talking to every one of us here. Amen? Not just the leaders. It's very important that we understand that. Let's get my good side. You like it? You don't have a good side, Craig. That's why he's laughing. Okay. So now, my favorite scripture, Hebrews 13:7. I'm going to try and help you see something this morning, and hopefully it opens your eyes to something. Because this is important. But often guys that are in this place here understand this. It's the guys that stand here that looking this way don't understand it very often. But if you can understand this, it actually helps you protect that word. The goal is to protect the word of God in your heart, is to keep it safe. So when I was offered, I told you last week, when I was offered that trip overseas, or rather to go and work overseas in 2000, earning 30 grand a month in 2000, working on the FPSOs and oil rigs as a rope access technician. I said no to it because I wanted to protect the word in my heart. I knew that it would rob me. And my family was just saying, no, but you can go to chapel there. And I said, no, I need the local church that I'm part of, Glenridge. I need it to protect the word because I needed this, you see. I already had a guy called Ryan Matthews and Cedric Van Dane. They were on eldership, single at that time. And I was already connecting with them one-on-one now and again. I didn't want to lose that. I wanted them to help me protect the word of God in my heart because I knew for 12 years I was backslidden and I knew what I could do by myself was wreck my life. And I needed the word of God to stay here to multiply so that God could change things around me, which he did. He opened doors. He put me at right places at right times because I protected the word of God. Amen? The house we live in today, God bless us with that house. You're looking for a home. You're looking for a house. Protect the word of God in your heart and he'll open that door. But if it's lust, riches, and worries and stresses, you're going to be just running yourself ragged to fix things as the world does and kill yourself in the process. That house was being sold. Malcolm walks into the estate agent's office and he asks the person saying, hey, we want to sell the house. And he goes, where is it? As the guy walks out, he says, there. He goes, takes a look, he calls Dawn, he calls me. We go, look, long story short, we got the leader of the church who led, come and take a look. What do you think? The wife was like, hey, no. And the husband's like, I think you can do it. There's a diamond in the rough. And so and we put an offering before for sale sign outside. How often does that happen, Drew? Amen. 18, 19 years. 20 years. Our last year of paying it off this year coming. Amen. Right time, right place. So, quickly. Remember your leaders. So, Hebrews 13. It's up there. Can you just jump to it quickly, please? Okay, well, it's Timothy. Timothy says, train yourself to be godly. That word is gymnazo. Train yourself. We've got to train ourselves. All right. Remember your leaders. Train yourself. Okay, I see you want to do that. You want to put it up there. Okay. Remember your leaders. The book of Hebrews is written to who? The church, is it not? Yeah. The believers in the oh, I don't want to get into the whole book of Hebrews, but when you read it, it's for you and I. So remember your leaders. Here's the question. Who's your leaders? So when I read that, I've got to say to myself, who are my leaders? Craig, when you read it, you're going to say, who's your leaders? Chris, who's your leaders? Who's your leaders? Wayne, who's your leaders? Who's my leader? Who's my leaders? You have to be able to answer that question in order to read that correctly. Otherwise, you've got to cut that out. So he says, remember your leaders. That word remember is to bring to remembrance, because there's times you're going to need them. Amen? And so it's easy to forget, because Satan wants to rob the word and we just forget about it and go back into the world and do whatever you need to do. Actually, I've got to remember my leaders. So when that job offer comes and says 30 grand overseas, I remember my leaders. No, I don't want to forsake their word, and they're helping me to maintain and protect the word of God in my heart. So remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, not some arbitrary Joe who is a good yes man, who spoke the word of God to you. They were able to preach the word of God to you. Remember them. It says, consider the outcome of the way of life and imitate their faith. That word consider, throw me something here quickly, Andy. No, don't. That word consider is this. Now, remember, you're standing here or you're thinking about joining this group, but you're here and you're looking at those men. These are your leaders now. If I say to you, I don't know why this keeps cutting out. I think it's the battery's dying. If I said to you, I'm going to give you R1 million, but you've got to draw this picture as best as you can. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say to you, I'm going to give it to you for 5 minutes. Okay, you want to just... Size, color, well, not color, but size. Thank you, my friend. If I give this to you, and I say you've got 5 minutes to look at this picture, and then I'm going to give you $1 million if you draw it correctly. Every mistake is, say, 50 grand off. What will you do if I give it to you for 5 minutes? Will you take it and go, sure, okay, great. 4.5 minutes left. Would you do that? Some of you wouldn't. Some of you would. Some of you are just indecisive. Would you do that? No. Why not? Because you want to draw it well. Yeah. That word consider is the word to inspect carefully. So therefore, I'm going to go, I'm going to check, okay, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 leaves in it. That one is as big from there to there. Then it gets smaller. Then it goes to the size of my hand. Okay. It is this wide. And I'm going to start making measurements in my head about this leaf. Am I not? So when I get to draw it, I'm going to draw it as best and accurately as I can in those five in that time. So I'm going to spend my whole 5 minutes inspecting this thing absolutely perfectly. Am I not? I'd be a fool not to, because I'm going to get rewarded according to how well I draw this. Amen? Yeah. And every time that there's a mistake, some of my reward is gone over and over again until I'm left with nothing. Because it doesn't look at all like this picture. Maybe I get 50 grand. Like this leaf. So that word consider means to inspect carefully the outcome. That word outcome is the end of. So in other words, I look at guy's life, his Kwanzaa's life, and I go, where is his life? Has he produced the word of God? Is there multiplication? Does he have stuff in his life that shows there's fruit of the gospel? Not someone who talks a good game, someone who's lived it out. You inspect the outcome of their way of life, not just what they say. Inspect carefully the outcome of their way of life. Are you still with me? Yeah. We're almost done. Don't lose me now. Keep tracking. Yeah. consider, inspect carefully the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That word imitate does not imitate them. So I'm going to wear a shirt like jeans like Craig and that shirt and my hair case. Oh, I'm going to go great. I don't have to laugh about it. It means to imitate their faith. Their faith. What has got them in that place? What has got them there? What have they done in order to get to where they are? So when I was at Glenridge in 1999, and I look at Ryan and I go, these guys are full-time in the ministry. They love Jesus. Ryan's a worship leader. He's up there. I'm like, my God, that's where I want to be one day. Not for the accolades and the glory, because, man, he's producing fruits in the kingdom. And I want to be like that guy. So I want to sit and talk to him, because I go, man, help me become like you. I don't want to become a little Ryan Matthews, but I want to carry the weight of glory on your life. I want to carry the faith that you carry. Why? Because I just want to take the word of God seriously. Amen. Amen. And if you look at me and go, hey, you got something special, Craig. I know I'm not. You can be exactly whoever I am if you just take the word of God seriously and protect the word of God in your heart. Amen. I'm no different to anyone else, except I just try to apply faith to the word of God every day, every week, every month, every year. Have I messed up? Yes. But I've never backslidden. Never left the church. I've continued on. Keep moving forward. I don't trip. I don't fall away. Why? Because Satan can't steal the word of God in my life. Because I'm protecting it. And this is very important to me, for Dawn and I, to have people speak into our lives. Amen? So consider the outcome of the way and imitate their faith. So here's the thing. In order to become a disciple, there's got to be a motivation. The motivation is this one, is to protect the word of God in your heart. Number two is because you want to imitate the faith of that man or woman that's walked ahead of you because you want what they carry. You want to become everything the Father's called you to become. He's told you to make disciples. I want to be obedient to the word of God. Amen? So here's my last thing I want to say this. My last little phrase here. In order to be where that guy is, I have to imitate his faith. I can't jump ahead from here all the way to where he is. I could have just left these trees up there and say, I'm going to be like you now. I have to speak to his Kwanzaa and say, every step he made for the last 10 years, 15 years, how did he get to where he is? Now he's like, well, I can't tell you all that. Exactly. But when I sit and talk to him, I say, hey, Tyron, bro, I got a job offer. And Tyron goes, hey, you know what? I had the same thing like 10 years ago, and I did this, and I jigged right. And you look at Tyron's life and the outcome of his faith, you say, man, I want to be like that guy. And he says, no, I went this way. I said yes to faith and no to the things of this world. Now, you have a decision to make. He's got to know what that decision is in order for you to help you with your faith. Does it make sense? You got it? He's got to know what the decision is in order to help you with your faith walk. If you want to imitate his faith, you have to give him the option so that he can tell you what he would have done when he was in your place, because he is where he is now and you want to be where he is. His faith. Who's with me? And so you say, I have to do this. This is my option. And he says, hey, I think you should jig. Now that's a faith step. And faith, by virtue of what it is risky. It's stepping out the boat. It's difficult. It's risky. It's spelled R-I-S-K. But the reason he is where he is, outcome of his way of life, is because he's taken those faith steps. So you'd be wise to say, I'm going to jig as well. But a lot of us friends are like this. That's just too hard. Matter of fact, number one, I'm not even going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it and tell you what I've done. That's not discipleship. Number two, hey, I know you jigged this way, but I'm going to jag anyway, because that's just too difficult. That's also not discipleship. We're not talking control. Paul says we want to work with your faith for your joy. Who's with me? That's why this is so important, making disciples of others to help them protect the word, and being a disciple of myself, making it so I can help protect that word, to take the right steps at the right time. But someone in your life has walked ahead of you, has to know where you're at and what you're doing in your marriage, with your children, with your work situation, wherever they may be, whatever faith steps you want to make. I'm not talking about what underpants you wear in the morning. Amen. God's your father, not your mother. The goal is what steps would you take, Craig, if you were me? So when I had that job offer 20 years ago, wherever it was, 24 years ago now, and I said no to it, I knew in my heart of hearts what I wanted to say. But I went to Ryan and Cedric. I said, this is what's happened. This is what I've been offered. What is your gut feel here? And they both said, Craig, it's going to pull you away from what God wants to do for you. And I said, I know. I didn't just say, oh, by the way, I got a good job offer. God's opened this door. Woo! I've been praying for years for good money, and God's opened the door for me to go overseas and work for 30 grand. Look how good God is. And I'm going to tile 3 grand a month. Aren't you happy? God has done this. He's made a way. And he goes, yep. Satan can also open doors. And so can we if we kick hard enough. Amen. Just because it seems good doesn't mean it's from God. But what do you think? I don't know, Craig. I wouldn't. All right, I'm not going to. Amen? Why don't we stand together? Thank you, guys. Does that make sense? Amen. Discipleship, friends, is very important. I know I went slightly over time this morning, but just close this series out with this, that without discipleship, we cannot really multiply, because we need the Word of God protected, and we need each other to help each other. But it's not just coming on a Sunday and listening to the preacher and going, wow, that's great, because we got our lives to live. And Satan comes very often to steal that word when we are going about our business. And the day-to-day phone calls and the day-to-day offers and the day-to-day responsibilities, when those things come, they pull us away from what God's doing. You could have just left those trees there. Because that's very out of spite. I'm just kidding. Amen? Amen? We want to multiply, friends. That's the goal. So don't be surprised if you come and says, encounter God, make disciples. Because we want to encounter the Lord, but for the most part, to make disciples. Now, finding community and fulfilling destiny, well, you find community with disciples in making disciples, number one, and you fulfill your destiny by multiplying and becoming what God's called you to become. Amen? Amen. And everything's rooted in those two things. Can I pray for you? Yes. Father, I want to thank you for your people. Matter of fact, why don't we close our eyes this morning? I want to say this to you. If you're saying, Craig, I love what you say. I need. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this before I say that. I'm going to say that I can't connect with everyone in the church. Clearly not. Jesus didn't connect with the 500. He connected first with the 3, then his 12, then the 72. I can only really focus on a small group of people around me. Much like that, each one of these leaders, Ryan, can only really focus on the small group. God's called you guys out there, men and women, to lead your own thing and to lead people in the life of this church. But you have to step up to the plate. You have to be discipled. You're going to say, Craig, that's me. If you hear this morning and you're hearing these words, you're saying, Craig, yes, I listened to this. And I know that I need to multiply the word of God in my heart. I know that I feel that Satan's come in and read that word at times. And I feel like I should have gone forward, but I've gone backwards. Craig, this is me this morning. I can hear what you're saying. I understand. And I do not want to be robbed of that anymore. I want to produce 30, 60, 100 times. I want to multiply. Craig, please pray for me and help me that God will speak to me that I can begin to do these things. I want to say, number one, God has already spoken to you this morning. Number two is you need to just do them. So if that's you this morning, why don't you put your hand up nice and high, and I want to pray for you. Don't be shy. Remember, this is faith. Faith is an action, and sometimes it's putting my hand into the sky is the first part of that action. It's like, yes, that's me. If I'm putting my hand up as well, because I'm saying, Father, I need more. I need more, Lord. I need more. Thank you, Father. Lord, you see every hand that's going up this morning. Every hand that's reaching to the sky, Lord, in a sign of surrender. I pray, Lord, that this morning your angels would come. Your word says, your word doesn't say, but I believe that you send angels to touch those who like the woman with the issue of blood reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. That when we reach up to you, Father, with our hands, it is a sign of faith. And this morning I pray that you would reach down and touch every hand, Father, and radically, Lord, change lives and change mindsets this morning, Lord. That we'll be a people, that they would be a people, that I would be a person that radically changes hearts for your glory, Lord. That we would lead many to righteousness. Yes. We wouldn't just tick off a box and say, I go to church on a Sunday and I like my church. But actually, I'm there and I serve and I help make disciples because I'm there called to disciple and to multiply what God has given me. In Jesus' name, Father, every hand up, touch them, Father, by your glory. Touch them by your grace. Pour out your spirit upon every man and everyone. This morning I pray, change, Lord. Change hearts. Change lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.